We turn God's Word tonight to Matthew 7. We continue using the Sermon on the Mount for our preparatory service. We're looking at verses 21 through 23 tonight. We'll begin reading at Matthew 7, verse 13. And we'll read through the end of the chapter. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Thus far we read God's word. As I said, the text is verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let's ask God's blessing on the preaching and prayer. Our Father in heaven, it's our fervent prayer as we sit under the preaching of the Word tonight that we would be delivered from all self-delusion and self-deception. We pray that Thou wilt use this Word to deliver us from any deception that may be found in our own hearts and lives. And instead we pray, Father, that the Word would drive that out, and instead we would see truth clearly, the truth about ourselves and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and our need for Him. So that this Word would prepare us then to partake of the Lord's Supper next week. May Thy name be glorified through this Word. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The words of Jesus in the text are meant to grab our attention. They are some of the most solemn and alarming words that Jesus ever spoke. And I don't think I overstate it when I say that. Listen to what he says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying that there are some who confess that He is Lord who will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but instead they will suffer the wrath of God in hell. If that doesn't grab our attention, then nothing will. Those are striking and powerful words. These are solemn words in the light of the judgment day to come. And Jesus is speaking of that judgment day to come. In that judgment day, we shall stand before Him. And the question for us is, what will He say? It's not just a word for the judgment day to come. It's a word for us right now. As we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and He sees everything that we do, and our hearts are opened up to Him, what does the Lord Jesus Christ say about us and our lives? In the text that we continue tonight, we see that what Jesus says here follows from what He has said before this. He had been warning us about false prophets. And He warned us about false prophets because that warning is connected to verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Don't go in through the wide and the broad one. Now Jesus warns about false prophets because what false prophets want to do, as Satan uses them, is to get us off that straight and narrow way that leads to glory and to everlasting life with our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, beware then of these false prophets. And this is how you can know them. You can know them in the end by their fruits. And we saw when we looked at that passage too that there was something for us to learn about ourselves. We are known also by our fruits. Now Jesus uses these false prophets to teach us something that's very important, to extend a warning to us as well, a warning to the church. Jesus has in mind these false prophets, but not just the false prophets. It's broader than that. That's how verse 21 begins. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. But then verse 22 does speak of those false prophets. Many will say to me in that day, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils? So he comes back to those false prophets. But he's using the false prophets and the delusion that they have, their self-delusion, their self-deception, to warn us of the sin of self-delusion. That's what Jesus is warning us of here in the text. He's giving us a list of how these false prophets and others can be deceived into trusting in wrong things for their salvation, their own confession, and their own works. But now we have to face these things. That's the question for us. When we consider standing before Jesus in the judgment day, what do we trust in? That's the question before us tonight. And Jesus here in this warning takes away from us the delusion of trusting in the wrong things and shows us the truth of what we are to trust in as we stand before our Lord Jesus Christ. One other thing we should notice about the text is that the text all stands together. There are some who want to take verse 21 and separate it from verses 22 and 23. And then they use verse 21 to say that doctrine is not important, or what a man believes is not important. None of that matters. It doesn't matter what a man believes. All that matters is doing the will of God, doing the will of our Father in heaven. But that's not at all the teaching or the understanding that we set before, that is set before us tonight in this text. What we believe is important. But instead, when you put the whole thing together, Jesus is warning about self-delusion and self-deception. So that's what we consider tonight. A warning against self-delusion. We can consider first the alarming idea. Secondly, the solemn lessons, And finally, the only comfort. The delusion that Jesus warns us of in the text is the thinking that is the thinking of a man when he thinks that he's saved, but he really isn't. Jesus exposes here the delusional thinking that a man is saved by his works. Now he teaches that from the perspective of false prophets who have deceived themselves into thinking that they are saved because of their confession and because of the things that they have done. But that's what's so alarming about the passage and so alarming about the idea that you find here. These prophets are those who say that Jesus is Lord, and these prophets are those who claim that they have done things that are right and obedient before God. But yet, Jesus says about them, "I never knew you. Depart from me." And he's saying that they will suffer in hell for their sins. But let's see how Jesus sets that before us here in the text generally. That he is warning of this kind of self-delusion. That comes out, first of all, in verse 21, when Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus refers here to those who have a false peace and believe that they are saved because they simply have confessed that Jesus is Lord. Now we know that if there is a man who never confesses that Jesus is Lord, he will never see the kingdom of heaven. Orthodoxy is necessary for salvation. A right confession of Jesus Christ is necessary for salvation, because those who are saved and know that they are saved know Jesus Christ and confess the truth about him. We know that we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who has two natures, a human nature and a divine nature. And unless we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God made flesh and that he is the Christ sent of God into this world to save us from our sins, unless we believe that, we are not Christians at all. But the alarming thing that Jesus says here is that not everyone who says that Jesus is Lord, who says, "Lord, Lord," concerning Jesus, not everyone who says that will be saved. That should cause us to pause. Because right here we know ourselves to be those who do confess this. We know Jesus is Lord. We know who he is. We know and believe that he is the Son of God. But why does Jesus say that some of those who confess this will not be saved? And the reason is because there are certain ones who place their trust in their confession that Jesus is Lord for their salvation. That's the idea here. The ones who are not saved, even though they confess Jesus is Lord, it's because, of course, they don't place their trust in the one that they confess. They place their trust in their confession that they make. It can be true that an unregenerate man may accept the scriptural teaching as abstract truth. He may accept the historicity of Jesus, his life and his work. And he may even say that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is Lord. But the problem is that even though a man may confess that, he doesn't put his trust in him and in him alone, but instead he puts his confidence in the very confession that he makes. And to get a full picture of that, you have to look at the entirety of verse 21 together, So in the second part of the verse, he says, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the implication of that is that the one who only confesses that Jesus is Lord and puts his confidence in that confession, along with that, he does not believe that it's necessary to live a life of obedience to God. Those who put their confidence in that confession will live in such a way that they live as antinomians. They're against the law. They don't believe the law has anything to say to them. And of course, that follows. If their confidence is simply in the confession that Jesus is the Lord and that they know that, and they're going to think nothing of a life of holiness and godliness. That's the first idea of the delusion of which Jesus exposes in the text. But also the delusion of salvation by works is clearly addressed by Jesus in the questions of verse 22. And remember, this goes back to these false prophets. These false prophets who think that they are saved. The idea of verse 22 is of the judgment day. Many will say to me in that day, that day is the judgment day. And notice Jesus says many. Not just a few. Many. We many who have this self-delusion and who are self-deceived. Many will say in the judgment day, but Lord, Lord, look what I have done. They make their argument based on their works. They make their argument based on their zeal, based on their fervor for the Lord. They say, Jesus, Lord, have you forgotten what we've done for you? Don't you remember what we've done? Well, let us tell you about what we have done. That's a striking list. It's a striking list because when you look at those things, you would say that, well, these are some of the things that at certain times in the history of the church, prophets of God, servants of God, have done who are children of God. But the text is saying that the performance of these things does not guarantee that one is a child of God and will dwell with Jesus Christ in heaven. And what Jesus says here is not something new. It's not something novel. But instead, it's something that you do find through the entirety of Scripture. And we want to see that tonight as you look at each one of these questions. We want to see that these are things that are addressed in other places of Scripture as well. The first question is this. Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? To prophesy is to bring the message of God to his people. That's what the prophets in the Old Testament did. They brought the message of God to his people. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the Old Testament scriptures. At least not that everyone could get at readily. And so God would send his prophets to his people to speak his word to them. And Jesus here is saying that there are many who prophesy in his name and will not be in heaven. Striking. Many who prophesy in his name will not be in heaven. They may have even preached correct doctrine. They may have done it in the name of Jesus Christ and said that they were part of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet Jesus will say to them in the day of judgment, I never knew you. Striking. But you have biblical examples of that. Think of Balaam. Balaam, that weak and sinful prophet who was used by God to speak his word, yet showed himself that he didn't want to bring that word of God. Or consider along with that what we read in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. Without that love, even though a prophecy of God is brought, a word of God is brought, it's all in vain. It is nothing. And the same could be true for us as parents. There may be parents who are not regenerated, but yet who know the Word of God and teach the Word of God to their children, but it doesn't live in their hearts. That's what Jesus is saying here. There's delusion here. There's a delusion. And then even those, the next question, and in thy name have cast out devils. Understand that it's possible for someone to cast out devils and not be part of the kingdom of God. Think about Jesus sending out his disciples, and they cast out devils, and one of them was Judas Iscariot. We never read that he didn't, or that he didn't bring the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or the sons of Sceva, we read of them in Acts 19. It was reported that they could cast out devils as well, but they didn't do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are those who claim that they have done many wonderful works in the name of Jesus. Powerful works, amazing works, miracles, and wonders that they have performed, but, Jesus says, will be outside of the kingdom. Think of the magicians in Egypt. Think of what Jesus says in Matthew 24 about those who will come and they will do great wonders before the return of Jesus Christ. In our day, it's judged that if a man can do amazing works, he must be a man of God. But now hear what Jesus has to say about all of this. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the one who will judge. And the delusion ends at the judgment day. This is what Jesus is talking about. The pretenders at the judgment day will be exposed. And there will be many in the judgment day who think that they are worthy of heaven because of this. Because of their confession and their works. But Jesus says, I am not deceived. He sees beyond the works. He sees into the hearts of men and women. And in that judgment day, He will say, I never knew you. The problem is this. The problem with these ones of whom Jesus speaks is that they do not have the love of Jesus Christ in their hearts. No matter what they've done outwardly, no matter what they've confessed with their mouths, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says concerning them, as we read in verse 23, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. His word of judgment is that they will spend eternity in hell for their sin. What's striking here is that it's those who confess that Jesus is Lord and those who say that we've done these many wonderful works. And Jesus says they will spend eternity in hell. The idea certainly is not that God somehow showed grace to them in this life. He showed favor to them and then they reject it. And then in the end, God's angry with them and casts them into hell. That's not at all the idea. But instead, the idea is, all along, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that they were not His own. But as we read this tonight and hear this tonight, that doesn't mean that we as God's people should be hopeless. The text does speak of those who will be saved. They are those, as described in the end of verse 22, as those that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What does that mean? We might wonder, well, isn't that pointing out works again? Isn't the point is, well, they're doing the will of God and that's why they're saved? No, that's not the idea of that at all. That's describing one who is a true child of God. One who knows Jesus Christ. One who knows that he's saved by the cross of Jesus Christ. And then he does the will of God because he's so thankful for the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. That phrase there summarizes all that God does and it describes the proper, the believing response of the child of God to that. It's speaking of one whose will is powerfully and sweetly bent by God and His Spirit, so that they desire to do the will and the work of God. They love God and they want to serve Him. Tonight, we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the judge. And we must take this word of Christ seriously and use it to examine our own hearts. The question for us is, what do we trust in? Do we simply trust in a confession that we make? Do we simply trust in works that we have done? And in the judgment day, is that what we're going to point to as to why it is that we should be in heaven? There are solemn lessons for us to learn from this passage tonight. We've considered the general message of Jesus in the text. Now we must consider, what is Jesus saying to us? We must bear in mind here that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the church. He's not speaking to the false prophets here. He's speaking to the church. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount wants the church to hear this word. He wants the church to be warned. He wants us to be warned tonight of the sin of self-delusion. That sin that these false teachers and false prophets fall into. He wants us to be aware of it. He wants us to be aware of the danger of self-delusional hypocrisy. And that's why Jesus exposes it to us here in this passage. What is it that we learn? Well, we learn two things. The first is this. We learn from the text that true Christians do not base their salvation on their works. We don't do that by basing our salvation on a confession that we make. We don't do that by basing our salvation upon things that we do in our lives. The danger of this kind of self-deception is real, especially in regard to the confession that we make of the truth of God's Word. We know what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Scriptures teach us, whosoever believeth in his heart and confesseth with his mouth shall be saved. Some take that to mean that if you confess the right thing, then you will be saved. Now, it's certainly true that the one who is saved makes a right and good confession. But it's also true that that confession does not save a man. That's what Jesus is exposing here. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. And we must be aware of that deception, that we would think we are saved simply because we make a certain confession about Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean to do away with the confession. The confession is essential and important. But we always have to remember, our trust is not in the fact we made the confession. Our trust is in the one whom we confess. Jesus warns us against the terrible danger of basing our salvation on our own faith or our own confession. Here's where we may see whether or not this is a danger for us. We will see that in the way in which we live. Remember, we pointed out earlier that those generally who put their trust in a confession, they don't live out of that. If their confession is all that it's at, then that's all that's important. It's what I confess, not how I live. And so we have to ask ourselves, we confess the Lord Jesus Christ, we say we love Him, but what do our lives say? Do we bow to His authority? Do we truly see Him as Lord? Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 6, be not deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The way we live is important. But that's why this is so serious. Those who are delusional in thinking that their confession is where it's at will live such an ungodly life. This is a very common form of this self-delusion. That's a real danger to us. Because we preach and confess the importance of confessing and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in truth. But may our confession of that not be our confidence. In addition to that, one who lives in this self-delusion refuses to examine himself. That's the second thing we want to see here. First thing we want to see about this delusion of basing salvation on works is depending on a confession. The second thing we want to see is that there's a refusal to examine oneself. If we think that salvation is based on what we believe, then the only examination we think will be necessary is one of doctrine. Doctrinal examination is important, but that's not the only examination that is important. A self-examination of the way in which we live is vital as well. But those who so emphasize confession that they would put their trust in that confession would say such an examination of the way in which we live is absolutely unnecessary. And in fact, they might say, it's wrong. It's not something that we ought to do. It's contrary to Scripture and contrary to the work of the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you look at yourself, all you're going to find is darkness and sin. Well, that's true. If we look at ourselves, we're going to see darkness and sin. But in relationship to what we heard this morning about the law of God, we need to see that. We need to see that to know Jesus Christ, to know our salvation in His blood. In a very real and practical way, maybe that happens in our own lives. When we read the Scriptures, we're looking to find the true doctrine that's found there, and it's good, we ought to. But maybe sometimes when we read the Scriptures, we forget to take the next step. And we fail to meditate upon our own lives and what we are living in contrast to what God says in His Word. It may not happen for us in this week that we forget to do that. That we don't take some time to examine our lives in the mirror of the Word of God. If we're not doing that regularly and we don't do that in a week of self-examination, that may indicate that we've fallen into the sin of self-delusion. And the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ wakes us up tonight and says, look, there's something else you have to look at tonight. And there's something else we have to look at in this week. And there's something else we have to look at in our lives. When we read the Word of God, we must examine our lives with that Word. Let's believe tonight how important the relationship is between what we confess and what we live. That's addressed for us in the book of 1 John. 1 John 1, verse 6, first of all, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, okay, there's our confession, we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Then you go to chapter 2, verse 4, he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The man who says that he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ but persistently lives an ungodly life of sin is not a Christian, is what this word says. 1 John 1 and 1 John 2 and the text that we're looking at tonight as well. So let us be encouraged to examine ourselves with this, our words, our actions, our motives. We have to understand that it's not just about looking good in front of others. But why is it that I do what I do? What's in my heart? Why do I live the way that I live? That's part of what Jesus is exposing here. The third thing we must see here in regard to this delusion of thinking that salvation is based on our works is the thinking that the good we do outweighs the bad that we do. That can happen in our lives. Our conscience accuses us that we've transgressed the commandments of God. But what do we look to when a conscience accuses us? Or there's someone else who God has put in our lives who shows us our sin. And what's our response to that? Well, sometimes we may respond by pointing to the good things we've done in an attempt to outweigh the bad things we've done. See, yeah, I've got these bad over here. Why do you want to keep focusing on that? I've done some good over here. Doesn't everything kind of balance out in the scale? And so it's easy for us to begin to have that perception of our own lives. Yeah, I do some bad over here, and I know I really shouldn't do those things, but I am doing some good over here. I may not be the best husband, or I may not be the best wife, but I do go to church on Sunday, and I read the Word, and I try to remember to pray. And as young people, sometimes we can do that too. Yeah, I do some bad things over here. I'm not obeying mom and dad, or I'm doing these things on the weekend I shouldn't be doing. But, you know, I do go to church, and I try to read my Bible, and I try to pray. Everything kind of balances out in the end, doesn't it? What does Jesus say to that? Well, that's what we hear in the text. Jesus says concerning that, that's delusional. You don't believe in works righteousness, but that's a practical works righteousness. It's not living the theology that we confess. Maybe we'd say, yeah, but my doctrine's straight. I don't believe in works righteousness. But yes, you do. Yes, I do. If that's what I'm doing, weighing one against the other. It's delusional. Self-delusional. Jesus warns that of that tonight. This leaves us bankrupt. It leaves us empty before the Lord Jesus Christ in the judgment day. That's not our hope at all. But the great danger that Jesus addresses here is the self-delusion of failing to see that the one thing that matters most is our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what matters most. That's what the text is saying to us in verse 23 in the words of Jesus himself when he says, I never knew you. That knowledge refers to relationship. Jesus is not saying there in that day, I don't know anything about you. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is, you never had a relationship with me. I never loved you. And you have never loved me. You never had a true faith. And remember what faith at its core and essence is. It's a bond that unites us to Christ. And Christ is saying there, this is the problem. This is what it is. You don't have that relationship with me. You don't have that bond that unites you with me. We see from this that what is most important in all of life is to have a living and real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to be united to Christ by a true and living faith. Those who are united to Christ will be with Christ forever. And in the judgment day, Jesus Christ will never say to them, I never knew you. No, he says, I know you, and I love you, and I paid for your sins. We know that this faith is God's gift to those who are his own. This faith is not something we do. We cannot unite ourselves to Jesus Christ. We cannot because we are dead in our sin. This is the work of God uniting us to Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with Christ. We're united to Christ only because God unites us to Jesus Christ. But this is most important. That's what was missing. And everything else of these false prophets that Jesus sets before us in the text, who clung to their confession, who clung as well to their works, and here's the evidence that they didn't know Jesus Christ. They weren't clinging to Christ. They were clinging to themselves and the things that they had done. That declares to us tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself declares to us that the most important thing in all of life is to be united to Jesus Christ. Do we know such a relationship? Do you know in the depths of your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you? And do you, in the depths of your heart, love Him so that in your love for Him, you are willing to do what He says and to do what He commands? When it comes to salvation, this, of course, is most important. We cannot be saved by our works. We know that. We've been taught that. But here we're reminded, we cannot be saved by works. Instead, we are saved by His work. We are not saved by a confession that we make. An orthodox confession is vital and important, but you can't be saved by such a confession. We're saved by Jesus Christ. And when we know that, we will want to serve Him from the heart. That's true Christianity. We submit to Him from the heart. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't simply want our zeal. He doesn't simply want our confession. He doesn't simply want our works. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I want all of you because all of you is mine. That's what He says to His people. You're mine. Every part of you is mine. I've redeemed every part of you. Now I call you to live with every part of your being in the service of Me. The Lord Jesus Christ says, not sacrifice, but obedience. That's what He demands. He wants our thankful obedience. And thankful obedience will be fervent. Thankful obedience will be zealous. Those who stand before Jesus Christ understand they don't deserve salvation. They don't make their case with works. Our case is made. It's made for us by the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that He has done for us. May we understand that and know that as we examine ourselves in this week. May our examination not consist of trying to outweigh the bad in our lives with the good that we do. May our examination not be such an examination which we say, yep, I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's all I need to know. Period. No, we need no more than that. But our examination may consist of this. Do I know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I know His love? And am I willing in every part of my life to submit to His will? As we examine ourselves in this, may we be led to understand and know then our only comfort. One day, we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to be judged. But let's not just think only about the future. Every day, we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees and knows everything that we do. And the question is, when we stand before Him, what will He say? Will He say what He says here in the text? I never knew you. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquity. Or will He say, I love you. You're mine. I paid for your sins. You'll live with Me forever. The text tonight is not meant to fill our minds with all kinds of doubts tonight. I don't preach it to fill your minds with doubts. But I preach it to set before you what a true faith is. That we would be delivered from the delusion of having confidence in our confession or in our works in any way. That we would be delivered from the idea of counting our confession or our works as something of significance which brings us to deserve life with the Lord Jesus Christ. May this delusion not be part of our lives. And part of that delusion may be, well, I put on the outside, I put on this persona, this idea that I'm living before God in obedience, but yet within my heart I'm angry and I'm disobedient. I'm not following the will of God. I'm living a life in the darkness of sin. God calls us to repent. He calls us to repent where we've deceived ourselves. And He calls us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. That's alone where our comfort is found. Not in me. Not my confession. Certainly not my works. But it's in Jesus Christ and what He has done. He's the Son of God, become flesh, who came into this world to die the death of the cross and pay for our sins. He rose on the third day for our justification, and He rules in heaven over all. This is the way we must come partaking next Sunday. Not in me and what I've done, but instead believing and knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid fully for all our sins. That's our only comfort. That's our only hope. And that's not only the message of the Word tonight, that's the message of the sacrament as well. May our faith be strengthened in that. May we believe that, know that, and have that comfort in life and in death. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for this Word tonight. And we pray that where it said hard things to us, that we will hear what the Spirit says to us, and that we would repent of our sins of disobedience. And we pray, Father, that we would then turn to Thee, that we would place our confidence alone in the Lord Jesus Christ and not at all in ourselves. And after examining ourselves in this week and seeing all the sin that cleaves to us, may we know that our only hope and our only comfort is found in Him. So bless us in this coming week. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.